Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Hey, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. As you know, the show is for all you songwriters and performers and musicians out there who are just trying to get a handle on things, how things work here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything. We're out there. We're out there slinging songs during the day just like you guys are, but we are able to bring smart people in, talented people in, and ask them some questions and give you the opportunity to pick their brains as well.
Absolutely. And you can do that a couple of different ways. You can go to facebook.com/themusicrowshow. You can like us and chime with your comments there. And of course, you can also hit us up on Twitter @themusicrowshow, and we'll get your comments that way as well.
Do we really?
Absolutely.
Wow, you're something. Now, hey, in case you have not heard, this actually just happened this week.
This week, yeah.
Dish subscribers, you can now watch us on TV because Blue Highways TV Network is on Dish.
That's right. You can watch us four times a week right now on Channel 73 all over the U.S. and for the first time ever right here in Nashville. We'll figure that one out. That's awesome.
No kidding. 3 years on TV and right now we're finally on TV in
Yay!
Nashville. That's cool. Well, we have a full show tonight. We have award-winning hit recording artist, hit songwriter, actor and filmmaker Mark Colley here in the studio in hour one.
Yeah, and then we're going to be talking with the current roster of the legendary group, the Burrito Brothers, in hour two. Very excited about that.
Yeah, man. Well, let's get to it. Hino, do the honors, would you?
All right. Well, we start off with, as Scott mentioned, with hit recording artist and songwriter, actor, philanthropist Mark Colley. He's going to be joining us. As a recording artist, Mark has released 8 albums, charted 16 singles on the Billboard Hot Country charts, including top 10 hits Let Her Go, Even the Man in the Moon is Crying, and Born to Love You. As a songwriter, he's written tunes for artists like Aaron Tippin and Garth Brooks, Tim McGraw, Marty Stewart, Billy Ray Cyrus, and a whole bunch of other people. Billy Bob Thornton, even. We might even hear a little bit of that later on. And we're just thrilled to finally have him on the show. Mark Colley, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Listen to that crowd go crazy.
Woo-hoo!
My goodness.
Great crowd here.
Yeah. Speaking of the Billy Bob, that new song of yours, Raising Cain, killer
Absolutely.
Tune. We were talking about that beforehand, but I mean, that's one of those. I kept going to it in the last couple of days going, man.
I played it over and over today.
Is this kind of a preview of what's in store for your fans in the coming months?
Yeah, that's going to be the first, single or release that we're going to do off the upcoming studio record I'm working on now.
Come closer to the mic. We want to hear you.
I was going to say that I'm glad you liked it. Billy Bob Thornton, a lot of people are coming to know more about his music all the time. He's obviously a great talent, a great mind and a performer, but he was in the music a long time before he became an actor. A lot of people don't know that, but he's a writer and he and I have written. I was fortunate enough I was hanging out with him when he was working on his first record some time ago, The Private Radio.
Oh, yeah.
And I was collaborated with him on that song. And that was great, opportunity for one thing, just to spend the time with him and get to know him a little better. You always get to know somebody better when you write songs.
Yeah,
that's true.
And and so we had been, and I had always said, well, we're going to get back together and write something else. We're going to do something else. And recently, the opportunity for him to record his band, the Boxmasters, for 101 Ranch Records, which is where I'm.
Yeah,
that's your current label, right?
And so now we're label mates. And so while we're hanging out and went out in the studio in L.A., I just started singing this little riff, and he started singing harmony to it and started sounding like a hit. Sound like something that might be fun to to do.
So you guys wrote it together.
Yeah, we started writing it right there, and now it's and then we recorded it with my band and his band, the Boxmasters.
Two separate versions or all together?
Well, that's all of us playing on.
Okay.
That's my group, my little trio, and his group, the Boxmasters.
That's why it sounds like a freight train. There's a
it's a roadhouse rock and roll fun time And I'm really excited about it. It's a chance for us to do something we really enjoy doing and share a microphone together. So I hope the fans will will smile when they hear it. Maybe they'll enjoy it.
Absolutely.
We get a kick out of playing it. So it's really not out at radio yet, but it's here for y'all tonight. So.
We're gonna premiere it here in a little bit. But yeah, I tell you what I loved is I'm sitting. It's one of those. I'm listening to it. And I'm going, oh, are you kidding me? Why didn't I think of this? Because all the different types of houses that you put in there, and I'm like, why? That's just I was so mad at myself. But yeah. great tune, great tune.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, I spoke to Billy earlier, and he and his wife Connie and Bella are driving up the coast of California, and they'll be listening.
Sweet.
Tonight.
All right.
So we'll dedicate this first playing when y'all get to the Thornton clan.
Great. There you go. Well, a lot of your music has kind of a rockabilly feel to it. Go figure. Mm-hmm. You know, where did you develop your musical influences?
Waynesboro, Tennessee, between Waynesboro and Savannah, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Near the Hardin County line, and I grew up southwest of here, north of Muscle Shoals, and about halfway between here and Memphis and Jackson and Memphis.
So is that pretty much what you were listening to growing up? Or
I listened to, you know, just like everybody, you listen to a lot of stuff. But when I was really small on the jukeboxes and radio and stuff, you know, you could hear a lot of Jerry Lee Lewis and Charlie Rich and Carl Perkins and Johnny Rivers and, you know. And there were still those old records on the jukeboxes down at Clifton, you know. and of course, and then, you know, the British invasion and everybody and all the groups like that. And as a kid, I had a guitar. I was given a guitar. My brother got a guitar for Christmas from my Uncle Joe. He brought a Harmony acoustic guitar and a. Steve told me, he said, if you touch this guitar, I'll kill you.
So what does that mean?
So he would hide it from me and my brother John. We'd get it out and break strings on
you
it,
touched
and
it.
Hide it back. But I learned to play guitar and telling stories, you know. And I loved Johnny Cash and, you know, the story songs. And then I loved the excitement of, Great Balls of Fire and stuff like that. You know.
So is that how you learned, just by figuring out those songs, or did you know?
No, first thing I learned was, how to keep two strings in tune without breaking them.
It helps.
Which is hard with one of those old harmonies.
Yeah. And I just, I figured it out,
Yeah.
It's kind of like, if you have, and I was blessed with the ability to learn enough of it to help communicate what I was thinking. Yeah. It was really therapeutic for me, even through my whole life, even now, songwriting, It's sort of a way to express something that I might be feeling or need to say. And I was, songwriters are introverts, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And performers are, extroverts. So when you get a writer-performer, it's kind of confusing.
It's all screwed up, yeah.
So you spend a lot of time trying to figure it out,
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to figure it out. I get a lot of help now, I'm in a position where I can collaborate with some great writers. You always grow in that direction,
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And learn something about yourself when you hear somebody say it back to you, But I'm just, glad to be still making a contribution and trying. And I've been fortunate to have some good years, And hadn't been in the studio much lately, but I'm back in there, and I'm going to be playing again live this year. So
nice. Sweet.
Fired up about it, Looking forward to it.
Well, speaking of songwriting, did I see right that your first songwriter cut was on Willie Nelson?
No, somebody told me that. I don't know what he cut if he did. I haven't heard it. But I did get, and I think I do have a song, I don't know, that I wrote as a kid. I don't have a copy of that, so I don't know. But it's in my Wikipedia page, and they typically don't print anything unless they research it.
Well, I think I found that on your website on the timelines.
Is that right?
Yeah, probably so. So,
but I got my first cut. Actually, my first major record cut was on a Ray Pillow, Grand Ole Opry star Ray Pillow.
Oh yeah,
and he was on MCA Records. And I was playing at a show on a flatbed truck in Memphis, Tennessee. And we opened the show for him. And it was a Grand Ole Opry show. It was like, Ray Pillen and I don't know, Jimmy Dickens and a bunch of guys, you know. And I met Ray and I was singing songs, you know. And he asked me about the songs and I told him, I said, I wrote them, you know. And he said, well, and he actually got me to start, you know, got me through some doors and some opportunities. And I had a song that he recorded and I remember listening to it on WSM.
Yeah. You
know, and I remember he sang it on the Opry, you know.
Wow.
And I was driving over from Memphis to hear it. I just got close enough where I could pick up WSM.
Yeah.
And he mentioned my name on the Grand Ole Opry, you know, and that was a great, on this radio station. You know?
That was a good night.
And that was a great night for me. And that was, you know, it gave me enough confidence and hope that I could maybe do it again, you know.
Hmm.
And then I realized right quick that getting a song recorded is tough enough.
Right.
Doing it again is harder than that.
Yeah. You know?
And so I've been trying to figure out how to do it again. Still trying to figure that one out. You know?
Wow. Yeah. Well, is that when you seriously took on learning the craft of songwriting? That's when you got really serious about it?
I started writing songs when I was 9 years old.
Okay.
Because I didn't know enough about a guitar to learn any songs. And when I figured out two chords, I wrote a song that had two chords.
Perfect. But when you came to town, were you focusing on the recording artist path or the songwriter path? Or was it all mixed together?
I played music, you know. I began to play music, and I played a lot of, you know, piano, too, you know.
Oh, okay.
When I was, you know, sort of rockabilly piano, you know, somewhere between Jimmy Swaggart and Mickey Gilley, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, so I played piano and guitar, and I actually stopped playing piano when I moved from Memphis because it became sort of like nobody wanted to hear me play guitar. And if I was at piano, they wanted me to play Lewis, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, play the rock and roll stuff. So I said, well, I'm becoming too much that. I've got to find out who I am. So I went back to the guitar and began to sort of become the writer. And I'm a writer first, obviously, you know. And I hope that I, you know, can continue to do that, you know, without, you know, running out of things to write about.
Sure.
Well, I heard you say that even though you had some success, it actually took you about 5 years in town before you felt like you were really writing.
Yeah, it takes a while to sort of figure out, to get competitive. You know, the one thing I'll say about people, if you ask about songwriting, there's some guys can come to town and they're just, they have something to say and they're able to craft it in a way that you know, is really powerful. But when you get around this town, the competition is so intense that you have to get better at it. And you have to really, it's a lot of work. And I don't know any songwriters who actually like to work. But, I know I don't like to work.
Yeah.
But writing songs, I found out early on, not only would you have to work at writing songs, you'd have to work two or three other jobs.
Exactly.
So you could spend time writing songs. So you learn how to work. I say that, but songwriters that are the good ones have a great work ethic and do it daily. And it makes you learn to craft a song better. You get around better songwriters, you'll gain things. That's what I think changed most for me, was that I was able to get in a room with some great writers who helped me learn enough to sort of piece it together. And then the greatest thing that Harlan Howard sort of shed light to me about was that there's really nothing new to write about. It's just your perspective of how you see it is what you have to have. I mean, it's like we can all look at that guitar, but we all see it from just a little different light
or
perspective. And if you're able to share that, then that, you know, you might have a fresh point of view on it.
I like that.
And so I try to you know, just rely on simple things, keep it as simple as possible, even though coming up with all the different houses in the Raising Cane song.
Right.
I had help. Billy Bob was helping with that. And also, the first thing he'll tell you, I hope you get a chance to visit with him, but it's the first song that I've ever heard or sang. And this was his line. He came up with how to use souse in a song.
Yep.
and it
works.
And it rhymes with house.
Yep. Perfect. So, why not?
So,
well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, everybody, I want you to stay tuned because we're going to come back playing this brand new song called Raising Cain. It'll be the first time it's been played on WSM radio, maybe the first time it's been played anywhere. And we're very excited about it. So stick around. You're listening to The Music Row Show. We're going to be back with more of Mark Colley.
They caught him breaking in the schoolhouse. They gonna test him like a lab mouse. He's always been a little strange. They gave him 11 months and 29 and change for Raising Cain. No, y'all don't go Raising Cain. Officer gonna feel, gonna wind you up in jail Raising Cain. Bow, 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 bow.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Raising Cain, the debut of Raising Cain. Great new song by our guest here this hour, Mark Colley and Billy Bob Thornton.
Crazy song.
Yeah,
I love
this song.
It's
a great video, too. I like
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Now, where do we find this? How long till it gets released?
It'll be released the 27th of this month. Is that correct? I have to check with my record label over here. Andy, when's that coming out? 27th?
Yeah.
It'll be available for downloads on the 27th of this month.
Perfect.
And, you know, we're excited about it. I hope the fans get them one.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just a killer tune. And you got a guitar strapped on here. You think maybe we can get a song from you?
Okay, let's see. This song is I wrote this song, and my good friend Tim McGraw recorded it on the.
Oh, sweet.
Set This Circus Down, I believe. I'll see if I can play a little bit of this. I'm gonna drive on out to find a quiet spot, turn on my parking lights. I'm gonna drink some beer, try to catch a buzz, turn my radio up, and forget about us. I'm gonna lay me down out on the hood of this car, make another wish on the falling star. I'm gonna think again about the way it was. I'm gonna close my eyes and forget about. I know it won't be easy, but I've got a plan. Just let my memories let go of your hand. I'm gonna miss your touch, but I know I must forget about us. And when the morning sun burns across my face, I'll pull my shirt back on, get up and walk away. I'm gonna climb my frame
onto a Greyhound bus. Take a little blue pill and forget about us. Now, I know it won't be easy, but I've got a plan. Just let my memories let go of your hand. I'm gonna miss your touch, but I know I must forget about us. Forget about us. Forget about us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Something like that. Woo! Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Very nice.
Right.
Man.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
That was a song that came to me, and I took it over, and I think I sang it to Tim first, without a guitar or anything. I just sang it to him. He liked it. He said, I'm going to cut that. And he did.
Man of his word.
Yeah, and I appreciate love that. It. Appreciate it. Made a great record on it.
Man. So when you first got to town, how conscious did you have to be to do networking and making connections? How did you go about doing that and
well,
making
you know,
a name for yourself?
I don't know how you do that. It's sort of like somebody told me, a songwriter said that everybody that got off the bus came to town the same day I did. Would be but they said, just stick around 10 to 15 years from now, you'll know somebody that knows somebody that's got a job that knows somebody that's in the music business, you know. So you kind of, it's kind of like Little League Baseball. If you get in line, everybody gets the bat, you know.
Yeah.
And if you get a hit, you get the bat again, you know. But it's a process of getting to know some people and actually having something to share that people want to hear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shortage of great writers and singers and talent in this town.
Mm-mm.
It takes a lot of, you have to really be tough to do it. And because, you know, it's high risk of anything finding any purpose or making you any money. I think the great reward that you do get is when you write a song that maybe matters to somebody and you can see that.
Yeah.
And if you try to write songs that matter to you, and that's what I try to do. I try to write songs about things that I know about. And because I'm not smart enough to make up anything else, so I try to write what I know. And hope that you make a connection, that you make a song that matters to somebody. And if you can do that, the Lord will bless whatever you do. Sure. If you do it from a pure heart like that, I believe that. And I've been blessed, you know, and I thank Jesus every day that I'm still here. And he's the reason I'm still here, and I know that. And I just commit everything I do with that from that place in my heart. And I get rewarded for it, you know. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's a pat on the back, you know. Sometimes it's just a smile that you might put on somebody's face, you know. But we all started singing songs and making music to try to make other people happy and please and to satisfy something within ourselves. And that's really all that you could be guaranteed to get out of it. Now, if you're wise enough and hard enough, smart enough, and you stick around long enough, you might have a nickel left when you get through. And I've been blessed to make a few nickels, and I'm not opposed to making a lot of nickels. You know, I could use a few more, but I don't know anybody who can't want to do that. But my best advice is, if this is what you love to do, then you're going to do it. And I wish you the best of luck at it, and the best way to make things happen is to create your own luck and work hard. And everybody that comes here gets a chance. And some people just, you know, chances are better than others, I guess. I don't know.
Or they do something with that chance.
Yeah. And it's all about taking advantage of the opportunities. And like I say, you know, you never know where that next song is going to come from or which one's going to matter, you know.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of finding songs that matter, Alive at Brushy Mountain, mm-hmm. This was a several-year-long project in mm-hmm. some very rough environments. Mm-hmm. Talk about this. Why was it so important to you, and how did it affect you creatively?
Well, I had a heart for people who have made mistakes, and I've made mistakes. We all make mistakes, and I wanted to try to share the music. I know I was fortunate, as I say, blessed to have an opportunity to get to be friends with Johnny Cash and Jim Carter, and they were very good to me, and I learned a lot about what I know about how to do this from Johnny Cash and some of the people that were in my life over the years. And it was always just really stuck with me how he would go and how he shared his music at Folsom and at San Quentin, and Haggard being at San Quentin, and how I heard Haggard talk about how Johnny coming there helped change his life and turn his life around, turn his rage into muse. Mm-hmm. And I have always believed without Merle Haggard, we wouldn't have a third of our or a fourth of our format, because nobody would have had anybody to try to be like.
You know, that's true.
Know, most of the guys trying to sing like Haggard wouldn't have had Haggard, and we wouldn't have had all those great songs.
Right. Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, that changed his life, you know, and he was moved, and he went on and made a great contribution to our culture. And I thought, well, what if I went and took my guitar up to Brushy Mountain, just maybe if I just go in there and be in the guitar, and I could maybe turn one guy around, or maybe make somebody's day a little better, and maybe change another life. I didn't know if I could change one life.
Right. Yeah.
For the better. And I didn't know when I started up there the first time with my acoustic guitar that I was going to be doing, I was going to be on a journey that would last over 10 or 15 years, you know. But I began to film the interviews, and thought that'd be good to have that and to document my journey, and we did. And and as fate or time or whatever would have it, the record was shelved and not released, and the film sort of hit never got finished. But recently, in the last year or two, with the help of 101 Ranch Records and their productions, we've finished the documentary, and the record's being re-released now on 101, so the fans can hear it. And so it was a great journey, and I know that it made my life. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Spending time with inmates and families of people that were there, and the film is called The Mountain, and we're waiting now to announce the distribution and the ways that you can see that. And 101's going to re-release the live record in the prison yard. And
yeah.
So I've got a lot of music coming out now.
Great.
Even though I haven't had a lot of music out in a while, but.
Just for anybody else who might be thinking of doing it, what are some of the challenges of setting up a gig at a prison? I mean,
virtually impossible to get that done. But I was, I had some friends that worked in the government, and Merlin Littlefield, who was a business guy, a friend of mine for many years, a great guy here in Nashville. He's passed now, but Merlin, as it turned out, I had to go find somebody who could set me up a meeting with or get me a clearance through the governor's office or somebody so I could go up there the first time just to go in there with a guitar, you know.
Oh, wow.
And it turns out Merlin was working, had left the music business and had gone to work for the government for the prison system.
No kidding.
Perfect.
So there was my my angel was sitting right there with the keys. So he said, yeah, let's ride up there and we'll talk to the board and see what we can figure out. So it began there, and the doors began to open and things began to happen. And I was able to gain access, and that's, as you say, the most important thing that you can have when you're going to tell a story of this kind is access. And I was able to get a lot of stuff on film and recorded it up. I believe can make an impact, and I feel like that. And I know that we hear testimonies a lot from men who were there, you know, and their families who've shared that. That our visits helped get them through a year, and how they've turned their lives around and found the faith to and the strength to kind of make a contribution as opposed to the alternative.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, and I think that we helped some people, and I believe the film will continue to do that. And it did take a great portion of my time and life to do it, but I would not change it because I believe I was supposed to do it. And Tammy, my wife, is sitting there looking at me right now. I'll tell you, what's the film we saw the other night? There's a film about a couple, and the guy's making a documentary.
Okay.
And he's taking like 8 or 10 years to make it. Mm. But my sister had us watch it the other night, and as we watched it, it was us. And I mean, and so it was so funny that it wasn't even funny.
Yeah, but, a little too close to home.
Yeah, it was a little too close. But I'll say this, that it was a journey, and I didn't know where it was actually taking me, but I'm very proud of the record, and you know, I had some great people. Tim, you can see some of the videos from the stage, from the show.
Yeah, on your website, MarkHawley.com.
Yeah, MarkHawley.com, on YouTube and stuff, and you can go find it, and you can get an idea a little bit of what the journey was like.
And the album is Alive at Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary, and hopefully it's coming out, re-releasing soon.
Yeah, re-releasing too. That's my record label president over here. Re-releasing soon.
Re-releasing soon. Look it up. And then the Reckless Companions, did I see Sean Kemp in there?
Sean Kemp's in the band. I mean, Willie Weeks, Chad Cromwell, David Grissom, one of the great guitar players. Kelly Willis is singing with me on every song, she and Sean. And I had Kelly does a couple of tunes, and Sean and I do a thing on there with Tommy Burroughs that he and I wrote called A Dead Man Runs, and Gatemouth Brown came up. Tony Brown helped me make this record with MCA and before he left over there at Universal. But Tim McGraw came up and did 2 or 3 songs with me, but unfortunately, those recordings are still incarcerated in Curb.
Yeah. A whole different kind of prison system.
Darn
yeah.
you, Curb.
Yeah. 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 Well, yeah.
All right, listen,
well,
we need to
try to get Mike to let him out. You
okay.
know? If he ever does, I'll get those to you. Maybe one of these days I'll get him out. But you can, like I say, and I hope that the fans will enjoy that, and I hope that they'll see. And a lot of the songs that were written were all the original things that I do on this record were written during that time.
Nice.
From my conversations and experiences, and it was very it made a powerful impact on me, and I feel like a positive impact on some of the guys that we were able to help.
Nice.
That's great.
Well, listen, we need to take a quick break, but we're going to be back with a whole lot more of Mark Hawley here on the Music Row Show.
I figured out what it is she wants from me. Cause when I hold her close, when we go out at night, I can hardly see the moonlight for the diamonds in her eyes. She wants something with a ring to it, like a church bell makes.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a great tune by Mark Hawley, who's our guest here this hour. That's something to...
Something with a ring to it.
Something with a ring to it.
That was our first single. I wrote that with Aaron Tippin.
Oh, no. Awesome.
Yeah, and Aaron and I used to spend a few hours a week writing, and finally we both began to have some success.
Yeah. Actually, when he was on, he told a similar story to what you were just saying, that he was trying to write for the row and nothing was happening, and when he started just writing from the heart, then...
My publisher called me in the office when we wrote that song. They were very excited about it. She said, you know, this guy next door over here is going to make a record, and he wants to record that song. And you should take it over and let him have it, you know. And I said, well, I'm holding this song for George Strait. I'm going to pitch this to George Strait. She said, well, he's going to be the next George Strait. And I said, well, you know, he's good, but I'll tell you, he's no George Strait. And
I already know where this is.
And I was right. He was Garth Brooks. And so that was the first time I wish I'd been a little bit more. But actually, Garth did record the song later on and put it on with his that box set that he put out. And it was couldn't have been better. I couldn't be more thankful that he has a great choice. He likes songs.
That he's got good taste in music.
Good taste in music, and he recorded that song in spite of me. But ultimately, the song helped me get Tony Brown signed me to, and Bree Senton signed me to MCA, and they put it out as my first single in it, and it helped launch my recording career. So I had sort of the best of both worlds. I got a Garth cut and I got a record deal too. So
nice.
But I always have to kid myself a little bit about that day that Judy was trying to get me to let this new artist named Garth something record my song. Yeah,
that was cool. That's great. Well, let's take a break.
Let's
but
do it.
This segment is brought to you by our friends at Toyota of Cool Springs.
That is true. A lot of people know Scott and I are both Toyota drivers, and we actually both love that particular dealership. We both get our cars worked on there, and they're just great guys over there.
They do great work, and the nice thing is if you are looking for a car, they're not like jumping on you like
vultures. Yeah, you don't get pounced on when you walk into the dealership.
It's very,
so
very low-key.
Very
so
relaxed.
Check them out. Go see George, the owner. He'll take good care of you.
That's right.
And
you can find them on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. And we are going to be right back with a whole lot more of Mark Culley here on the Music Bro Show. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's In Time by Mark Culley. And that actually was a tune that was featured in a movie called The Punisher.
Yeah, that was The Punisher song. That song was, I wrote the song for the role of Harry Heck in The Punisher where I played in. That version there, that's myself in the East Nashville 3, my group. And that's going to be on our new record when it comes out. This record, that song is now available. That's Steve Latination, Mark Robinson, Jesse Isley and I playing it with the full band for the first time. And the downloads for this song will go to Troop 8 as well as to the Chris Kyle special foundation for, you know, for Wounded Warriors and stuff. And all the downloads from that, from 101 we're going to donate all the downloads to Chris Kyle.
And where can they get the download?
And that's on iTunes.
On iTunes? Okay.
Yeah, iTunes, Amazon, wherever downloads are sold, I guess. You know.
Sweet.
But you can go find that. And and a lot of Chris loved a lot of the guys loved that movie. I don't know if you see the Punisher emblem on their,
on
their and stuff, you know, and that song was important to a lot of our troops and guys that are in battle, and I really appreciate our men and women in uniform, and we wanted to do something with that song because it became a sort of a very important tune for some of them. So we recorded it now, and we're gonna like use the proceeds to help families and guys and girls coming home. You know,
that's fantastic.
So if you go to that and if you find that version, because there's an acoustic version,
right?
Say,
the one that's in the movie.
Yeah. But it also became a song for WWE wrestling too. You know, the Undertaker plays it when he comes.
Nice.
When he comes out to undertake somebody, I guess.
Well,
yeah. But so anyway, so I'm glad you let me pitch that song in particular because I hope that we can help at least keep people's thoughts on helping our men and women, and I'm very pleased that they let me do that.
Well, we're pleased too. That was also, for the record, the coolest scene in that movie. I love that. Yeah. I love that scene. And I'm just going to say this because we've been doing this show for almost 9 years. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm a big comic book geek.
You are the first
guest we've ever had who was in a comic book movie.
I'm the first. You know, I'm the only guy in my high school class who's been a Marvel comic book character.
Look at that. Yeah. How about that?
There you go.
And there's over 40 people in my graduation
class. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Wayne County High School. Certainly.
Oh, well, thanks so much for joining us. Everybody go to markcolley.com, check out that, and then come back to the Music Row Show. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with the legendary Burrito Brothers are going to be joining us, so you'll want to be here for that. Come on back to the Music Row Show.
Thank you.